Macmillan Audio presents Anatomy of a Murder, written by Robert Traver, read by Jason Culp. Introduction. After serving for 14 years as district attorney of the northern Michigan county where I was born, one chilly fall election day, I found myself abruptly paroled from my job by the unappealable verdict of the electorate. The thing was almost painless. A few punches and pulls of the wrong voting gadgets, and presto, I was an ex-DA. I also found myself in a bit of a bind. I was fast approaching 50, two of our three daughters were in college, and between prosecuting criminal cases and pursuing the elusive trout, it seemed I had neglected anything as mundane as building up a private law practice. Moreover, after the spotlighted thrust and swordplay of the public courtroom, I seemed to have developed an allergy to crouching in an office all day, drafting legal documents full of such luminous phrases as, "said party of the first part as aforesaid." For a spell, I tried varied stratagems to avoid all those lurking aforesaids. At the time, prospecting for uranium was high on the achievements list in our granite-strewn mining area, so I quickly bought a Geiger counter, only 12 easy payments, and resolutely marched off to the Granite Hills to serve both Mammon and my country. There, I soon collided with the whole mountain of radioactive thorium, which had also soon developed, nobody wanted, evidently much preferring to be blown up, if and when, by scarcer and therefore far tonier uranium. Next, I wrote my second book about my DA experiences, which was duly accepted and published and generously reviewed, but which nevertheless raced the first one, along with an interim book of short stories, to a blissful out-of-print oblivion, where all three still slumber. By then, another election year had rolled around, so I threw my hat in the ring for Congress, a fate common to unemployed ex-DAs, I have since observed, but I barely carried my own county in our sprawling northern Michigan district. Since neither prospecting, nor spinning yarns, nor free trips to Washington seemed to be in the cards, I pondered my next move on how I might duck those pesky aforesaids. Then a rare intruding client interrupted my meditations, an aggrieved citizen who, it seemed, had inadvertently sneezed while rounding a highway curve and had been picked up by the cops for drunk driving. Would I defend him against this crass miscarriage of justice? I would, and did. And though I forget just how justice fared in that one, I soon began popping up in scattered justice courts, defending similarly aggrieved citizens. Then a series of felonies began sweeping the county like an invasion of locusts, and apparently, since I hadn't quite lost the courthouse and jail during my DA stint, I suddenly found myself up to my ears acting as defense counsel down in the old stone courthouse overlooking Lake Superior. With the approach of winter came a lull in the crime wave, and I briefly considered writing a deep think tank piece, complete with both footnotes and foot pads, on the eerie effects of changing seasons on human behavior. I already had the title, Weather, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, To Steal or Not to Steal. Instead, I had a sudden impulse to write my first novel. After all, I reflected, I'd already written books of yarns, so why not for a change tackle and concentrate on one single story, say about one single courtroom trial? Since I now bore the scars of fighting on both sides of the courtroom barricades, I finally decided to write about a murder trial. The courtroom was one arena I knew something about, and by now I'd appeared on both sides in some pretty bang-up murder trials. About then, I recalled the farewell words of the teacher of the only creative writing course I'd ever taken. "Remember, kids," the man had said, "writing about
Sample complete. Ready to continue?